Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. There's a story that appeared in the Prairie Overcomer about a fisherman who was out of fellowship in church. He's out one day in this fishing boat with his friends, and they encountered a huge storm, and the boat is going up and down the swells, and they're fearing for their life, kind of like with Jonah. And two of the men, knowing that the one guy used to go to church, says, "You got to pray to God for this storm." He says, No, I haven't prayed to God in a long, long time, and the storm wouldn't relent. He says, "You got to do this, or we're all going to die." So the fisherman stops and he goes, "Lord, I haven't bothered you in 15 years. And if you get us out of this, I promise you, I won't bother you for another 15. Sometimes we look at prayer that way, as an expression of panic or an escape mechanism rather than a way of life. This may be your life. I have little notes in my other NASB Bible that I had from like the 1970s. And there's one part that when Pastor Greg taught in Reno, and this part says flare prayer. You know, because we shoot them up in this big red thing so that God can see it, you know, and we ask for the answer or the clarity that's there. We sometimes pray to God only when we're at the end of our rope rather than at the beginning of our problem. Is my mic on? Because it feels like it's not. I feel like I'm just talking to myself, and that's just me. Just my paranoia. It's okay. You know, just because you may think you're paranoid doesn't mean that they're not out after you, right? So, all right, moving back to it. In our awkwardness, we shy away from one of the most powerful tools that is granted to us by God. Thank you, whatever you did. I'm glad to join myself now. Isn't it weird how some things just distract you? You know, like with your ADD moments, you think that you're just alone. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26 in verses 50 to 53. He said this. Turn one more page. It's the time of the night of his arrest in the garden. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." And when they came and laid hands on Jesus and they seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached out and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Now when we hear that voice, we need to understand the depth of that. A full Roman legion consisted of 6,100 foot soldiers and 726 horsemen. Jesus said, "I have 12 times that at my disposal, and even more." In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, 11 says, "And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands." I picture faces as far as the eye could see, each having intimacy with Christ, you know, each enjoying the glory of God on the throne. Western Rancher was told by they were talking to the superintendent of their district about getting a new preacher into their town. And the superintendent says, "Is there any qualifications you'd like to have?" He said, "Not really. We just like that when he gets on his knees, they reach all the way to heaven." We have to have prayers that when we hit our knees, it reach all the way up to the throne of God. Philip Brooks said this, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for easy tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks." Sounds kind of risky though, doesn't it? But isn't it good that God never calls us to go the task alone? And he communicates his power and direction when we utilize the power in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you, to grow in you, to learn from you. And Father, we thank you that When we bow our heads, close our eyes, when we turn our voice and our attention, our minds to you, that we can enter into your presence, the very throne of grace, and that you not only listen to us, but you answer each and every prayer. And Father, as we explore the truth, as we explore the opportunity and the understanding of prayer, may you deepen our understanding, that we grow in intimacy with you. The closest we can be is when our hearts are right there, pouring out in your presence. So, Father, we ask that you would bless this time. In Christ's precious name, amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, there are chair Bibles around you. You can turn to page 153 in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 6, in the end of this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, right after the armor of God, he wrote this in starting verse 18. He says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel." Paul shares that we are have certain kind of prayers. And it's really contained in that verse 18 of these three verses. But three are important, but we're going to focus in on 18 to begin with. And he first says that we should offer inspirited prayers. Pray in the Spirit, Paul told the church in Rome in chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. He said, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." You know, when we pray, we've learned in our lives, when we face situations, not to necessarily pray for what we want, but pray for what God has for us. Praying for the will of God means that you will always receive, because what we may think we want is not God's will, and to get that or to receive that, which we could push the doors open ourselves, won't necessarily be a benefit to us. But God's will is always beneficial to us. And praying into the Spirit means we have the indwelling Spirit through his superior power and his knowledge, both prays for us and joins in with us, infusing his prayers with our prayers. That's something that's very hard to comprehend, but it's true. In Jude chapter 1, well, there's only one chapter in Jude, but you put that because otherwise the search engines don't know. Verses 20 and 21 says this, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." Meaning that while we're still here, while we're still on this earth and in the earthly realm, keep your prayers going up. Because one day, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight. One day, right now we see through a mirror dimly, but one day face to face. One day we will behold Christ face to face. But don't let up on your prayers. Don't give up on your prayers. Keep them before God at all times. Praying in the Spirit is the will of God. And what God wills, he empowers us to accomplish as we let him. The problem is sometimes we circumvent God and we kind of put our will in front of that, and that's all that we can see. We are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. We're to be in continual prayer. Paul instructed the church in Thessalonica, says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Ever wonder what God's will is? Take this and underline this verse. This will help you out. These are not spiritual suggestions. They are in the present tense, the active voice, and the imperative mood, which means they are commands. The command is rejoice. That's a command to rejoice. You know, we talked about this in our small group study on Friday night, that there's a difference between happiness and joyful. You can be joyful in spite of your circumstances, but sometimes your circumstances don't really make you happy. Oh, thank you, Lord, I got the flat tire. You know, no, praise God, I got a spare in the back that I can take and put on there and not be stuck. You know, there are always ways to be joyful in every certain situation. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Praying is a command that we have by God, not a suggestion as well. And always to give thanks is also a command by God. Because this is his will, because we know that all things work together for good. Talk about that. That was Jake's favorite verse, and we just read 26 and 27 of Romans chapter 8. That was the 8th, the 28th verse. In everything, give thanks to God in everything. That takes discipline. That takes a real awareness, because that is not easy. That is not easy to do. And unfortunately, we get caught up in the horizontal so often that we get tripped up. But praise God, when we do that, it elevates everything into a spiritual level. We are spirit. We are to live spiritual lives. We're not called to live earthly lives. We're caught in the earthly. But our home is in the heavenlies. Now, this day. It says, pray in the spirit and without ceasing. Is that even possible? Yeah. But it takes practice. The posture of our lives can keep us in continual prayer or on a broken prayer life. We get caught in the spiritual when things are going well, but as soon as we hear a bump in the road, man, it breaks that continual prayer, and we can get sidetracked on something. We've all done it, pastors and lay people alike. We are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. We are to have varied prayers. You know, and that's we can sometimes get caught into a rote type of prayer life, but our prayers have to be varied. They have to be according to the situation that we're in. They grow out of what we've seen in our continual prayer. Because if we pray continually through the various situations we encounter, it requires a variety kind of prayers. Prayers for resisting temptation, prayers for wisdom, forms of power, humility, prayers for courage, for protection, for growth, conviction, on and on and on, varied kind of prayers. Even praying in restaurants. There's a story. No, it's not a story. It's a true thing that happened to me. Graduated from high school, and I loaded up my 63 Chevy and drove down to Luray, Virginia, with the idea of being a tour guide in Luray Caverns. Thought, man, my voice in there might be fun. Got there. No jobs as tour guides, but there was a job as a bellhop up on the mountain lodge. Fortunately, it didn't involve a little cap on my head. Took the job, and my job was driving, leading people in my 63 Chevy down to where their cabin was on the hillside of the Blue Ridge Mountains over the Shenandoah Valley. It actually was a pretty cool summer, and the ranger of the forest area of the Shenandoah Mountains there would conduct a chapel service every Sunday night, and I would lead songs for it. My first really opportunity in leading worship. And at the end of my summer, my mom took the bus down to Washington, D.C., where I was going to pick her up an hour away and drive down to Florida. So we drove down to Florida to see my grandmother and grandfather in Zephyr Hills, Florida. Never been to Florida before. In August. Man, I thought it was humid in Michigan. It was really humid down there. But we had a nice time visiting with them. One day we went out to a restaurant. And all of a sudden, before I even had a chance to do anything, my hand was being grabbed and my grandfather began praying out loud. I'm looking around, you know, like I'd never experienced that before. I was 18 years old and had a new experience, believe it or not. I thought I had all knowledge at 14. But he was praying out loud and he just seemed so comfortable. And I was so uneasy with that. But you know, my life has changed over the years since that time, 40 plus years later. You know, it was a varied prayer because I'd never experienced that prayer. Now, I can't imagine us going to a restaurant and not praying. I talked with a dear saint up in mid part of Michigan, Liz Brown, and Liz has been a supporter of this church for a long time. She sends her tithe check here because she feels this is her church. And so last week I sent her a DVD and I sent her the little week one devotional and she sent back this voicemail on my phone, just so excited that she's, you know, just like felt like being there, and she was singing the songs with us, and she's doing her little walk journey. I'm on my 40-day journey, you know, and doing my thing, and she was so excited about that. And so I had to call up and tell her, you know, I'm so pleased that you are pleased. I just want you to know how much we love you, and though you're not here physically, you're with us spiritually. And she knew that this next message was on prayer, and so she had to have me share this story with you. This is part of varied prayer. She had a little dog, Sir Henry. Little yap dog. Little, you know, just really gets excited and makes a lot of noise, I guess. And I don't think I've ever been on Sir Henry. I've been not fortunate at that. But Sir Henry's sick and has like congestive heart failure, and she just loves this dog, takes this dog everywhere. It's like a child to her, you know, and it's a saint at that. And with Sir Henry. Anyway, just see if you're with me. And she had to take the dog every couple days for shots and stuff, and just heartbroken, you know, she just has tears over this dog. And she would pray for this dog and pray for this dog, and just wasn't getting better. And so one day she just said, "Lord," I said, "this dog is yours. I said, I've had these years with her, and if you want to take him home, you know, if you want to take him, that's fine. I'm happy with that. I give him to you." And the next morning, dog jumps up on her bed, runs up to her face, says, "Licking, licking, 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 licking." Takes the dog to the doctor. They can't find anything wrong. Whatever was wrong with the dog and with the heart was gone. And they said, "We don't know what happened." She goes, "I do. Prayer. Prayer is powerful. You know, prayer can do so many things that man may think is insignificant." Another quick story for you this week happened to us. Luann has been doing a job. I don't know, she works 12, 13-hour days from like, she gets home like 12:30, and we get to bed sometimes mostly 2 in the morning, which is why I look like I do most of the time, because I wait up for her. But anyway, she's been searching on other jobs that have more regular hours, and she found this job, this position, that's a Monday through Friday, because she's now, they're trying to make her work Sundays, and she refuses to do that. And God's been working that way, but this week she had to work 4 12-hour shifts in order to have today off. So we've been looking, she's been looking for a job, and she found this one, put an application in, and we've been praying for it, because we hadn't heard anything. We were praying on Thursday, you know, for this job, and Lord, if it's your will, we just pray that would happen. Saints, literally 2 seconds after we prayed that, the phone rang, and it was the person who was doing the hiring for this job, and they wanted her to come in the next day for an interview, which she couldn't do because she was working 13 hours. So, but you know, both of us said it's no coincidence that right after we prayed for this, that the phone call is right there to encourage you. Doesn't matter what you pray for. What matters is that you pray. Don't judge your prayers in the variness of prayers. Don't think that anything is too small. Scripture says even a cold cup of water offered in my name, surely that person will not lose the reward. If God values a cup of cold water, how much does he value our prayers for anything and everything? But pray according to his will. That's the key thing in with all of that. Our lives should reflect all kinds of prayers. Verse 18 of our passage in Ephesians, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, with this in sight, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Basically, keep on praying. An effective prayer is also a persistent prayer. Luke 18, verses 1 through 5 says this, "Now he was telling them a parable," meaning Jesus, "to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming, she wears me out.'" There's a truth in there. You know, can God ever be worn out? No. But the persistence of our prayers also tells God that we really mean this. There are things in Luann and I's life, and people in our family, we've been praying for daily for over 22 years now. We haven't seen the result and the answer to those prayers, but we continually pray them because we're called to pray with persistence. It may not happen until even after we die, but we continue to not lose heart, not give up. See, the persistent prayer, the idea of persistence, kids learn at a very early age. They know that they keep asking and keep asking, you're going to eventually get worn down. Until finally one day with knowledge you can say, "Listen, I know you may want to keep asking, but it's not going to work anymore. Just go with it and take whatever it is." I had to get that out because it was on my chest. I had to let you share that one. But being persistent is what Jesus is encouraging us to do in our prayers. Spend some time in prayer and do not give up on your request. If it means that much, show God your commitment in pursuing an answer. And don't lose heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it would be open to you. That's written and spoken to hearers that understand and believe God, okay? Written to us. And there's three verbs there, and a good progression for us to understand. First, ask. Ask is requesting assistance for a conscious need. For a conscious need. When we understand and hear about things in the body, we pray specifically for them, for needs for jobs or needs for difficulties or need for what we pray specifically for them in our prayers on each morning with Luann and I. If we don't know, we can't pray. But we ask with something conscious, of a conscious need. Seek involves asking, but also involves action, not just expressing the need, but looking around for help. You know, it's not just asking and then forgetting about it, but seeking, what is God going to do? And he may involve you in the answer of that, but he may use somebody else and to be on the awareness of it. And then knock. Knock involves not only asking for help, seeking out the help, but also persevering. Like the one who keeps pounding on the door. Ask, seek, knock. In other words, keep on asking, it will be given. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking, the door shall be open. How persistent are we in our prayers? Hopefully you have a new mindset even right now, point four. Point five, the fifth element of prayer that Paul gives us in that verse is intercessory prayer. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for the saints. With that, Paul follows up with requesting prayer for himself, verses 19 and 20 of our Ephesians passage. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I'm not into chain letters, and every time I see an email that if you send this on to 10 people, God's going to bless you in 15 minutes. You know, really? You think God's going to do that? You think that you can guilt God into doing things? If you want to pass it on, pass on a neat little story, but don't put down, if you love Jesus, you will send this to 10 people. You know, if you love Jesus, they will have already known it anyway, by sharing your heart. But I do wholly back the prayer chain and the efforts that are made by those who take advantage of it. That's why we have it there. That's why it's so important, because the enemy wants you to hold your things back and not share them, because you make stuff too vulnerable. But that's why there's that little check mark for pastor's prayer time only. And if you want to, I don't advise this, put it in without your name on it. Have to warn you, we know most of your handwriting anyway, so we'll know who it is. But the fact is, saints, believers in Jesus Christ, there's power in prayer. There's power for every situation that we face, no matter what it is. Prayer should occupy a large part of our prayers, praying for the saints, because we need prayers. We need prayers. Pastors need prayers. You know, you need prayers. And to not do it is not utilizing one of the greatest tools that we have. Do you realize that even the weakest saint on their knees makes Satan tremble? Because you're appealing to a greater power than what he could ever achieve. He can only be like God. He can never be God. Paul knew what the prayers of the saints could accomplish and what strides could be made for the cause of Christ. He wasn't too proud to ask for prayer. Let me close with these thoughts for you today. Dwight L. Moody said this. He said, I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher, which he was a great preacher, obviously. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. Don't you love that? He never taught them how to preach. He sent them out, but never taught them what to say. He only taught them how to pray. In order to see power in prayer, we need to practice what we are told. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Understand the Spirit of God within us prays with us. Have continual prayer. You can pray with your eyes open as you drive around or walk around. Have a varied prayer. See things in your life that you just want God to touch and affect, that you want to see him have that portion which is takes it over and makes it a spiritual moment, no matter what it is. Persistent prayer. You have a need that you want to see change, or it may be a job, it may be a situation with kids, it may be just a life situation. be persistent in that, but pray for his will, because God always answers according to his will. And then intercessory prayer, praying for others, is so, so important. We have an enemy, I don't know if you realize that, who is clever and who desires to see us nothing but defeated and discouraged at every turn and every moment. But I want to tell you a story about George Mueller. George Mueller, I had to put the picture up because he's just a cute-looking guy. You know, he's kind of a guy who just makes you smile. He was an evangelist and a coordinator of orphanage in England. He cared for over 10,000 orphans in his lifetime. He was well known for providing education to the children under his care, to the point where he was accusing of raising the poor above their natural station in life. It's the kind of guy I like to be next to. And he wrote in a narrative of some of the Lord's dealings with George Mueller, he wrote this: "It is a common temptation of Satan to make us give up on the reading of the word and prayer when our enjoyment is gone, as if it were of no use to read the scriptures when we do not enjoy them, as if it were no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer. The truth is that in order to enjoy the word, we ought to continue to read it. And the way to obtain a spirit of prayer is to continue praying. The less we read the word of God, the less we desire to read it. And the less we pray, the less we desire to pray." Saints, do not to neglect to understand the power that's there in prayer, and the opportunity to see that power demonstrated in your life and to affect the others in your life. Whether you pray while you sit, while you stand, or while you kneel, just make sure your prayers reach all the way up to heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the lessons it gives and the encouragement that's there to follow you wholly with our heart, with our mind, with all the strength that we have. Father, not to get caught up in the enemy, but to understand that you have defeated the enemy and to follow you. Help us in this week to have a closer walk with you through prayer, to place everything before you and have that excitement of anticipation of watching you work and answer. May we not neglect that. May we not neglect you. And Father, we ask for this encouragement in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.